Okay, so we're here talking to Mario Rodriguez. We were here a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and you showed us some of what was coming in Team Foundation Server for visualizations. Mm-hmm. So we're talking to Matthew Mitrick. He's going to be showing us the visualizations.
Exactly.
So that means that you're not doing visualizations nowadays. What are you up to?
Not anymore. So I'm actually transitioned from visualizing change and some of the version control features to another area that has to do with the manageability of TFS. So I'm looking at an area that we call ETM, which stands for Enterprise TFS Management.
Okay.
And it's really our next set of investments to look at software plus services. And what does that mean for the ALM industry? And what does that mean for a product like TFS?
Okay. So what does that mean? Help us out here.
So before we describe exactly what that means, then I think it would be beneficial to talk about what are the IT challenges in that space.
Okay.
From an IT perspective, the thing that matters the most nowadays especially is cost. What is the overall cost of the application that mm-hmm. is running in that IT infrastructure? We heard a lot from our top customers, so big enterprises, that they have a big need to host an ALM toolset like ours as a service internally. And if you look at the ERP services, it would be the same thing. The industry today on the ALM space is very young when it comes to that kind of shift. So being able to actually host the ALM toolset as a service for an entire enterprise.
So what do we mean when we say host as a service? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, definitely. So by that we mean there's a set of requirements on that application or on that specific server product or however you want to describe it. And those set of requirements are usually high availability. So you need to, once you actually say, I'm going to host this as a service internally, that means that, you know, thousands and thousands of people are going to be using this application.
Okay.
Or the server product, and it needs to be very highly available.
Okay.
So that means, you know, sometime you're going to actually, the IT department is going to have SLA agreements with the actual teams that are using this tool set. So high availability is a big, big thing. The second thing is multi-tenancy. And multi-tenancy, really, the way to talk about that is about isolation. If I am a big company and there's five products that we actually are using the ALM toolset, then what you want to do is be able to isolate these products. Some of them may be in incubation. Some of them may actually be secrets that other organizations in the company would not be able to find out about them or get detail about them. So you want to still host, be able to provide them the service of TFS, for example, but be able to isolate these teams so they don't share any data, number one. They don't see any of this data. And whenever something goes down, now the entire enterprise goes down.
Right.
So multi-tenancy is one of those. And the last thing is to be efficiently manage the load on your hardware. So you have this application that is utilizing resources, mm-hmm. And those are usually hardware resources. You know, they're utilizing your data tier, they're utilizing all of everything in your data center, your SANs. So you have a given set of infrastructure that is going to come under load by these thousands and thousands of users. So what do you do to manage that load efficiently? Because you're not going to be able to hire five administrators to actually manage all of this. You want to do it as efficient as possible, again, about reducing the cost.
Okay, so this is a shift away from, you know, every team having a SourceSafe box or a TFS box under their desk, and now there's one central group, kind of like the post office, right, that just handles services, and if I want a new project, I can submit a request to some central team that manages all that for me.
Correct. It's all about that. It's about centralizing and consolidating, which is what the IT industry is moving towards. You want centralization and consolidation. That's what actually lowers costs for you overall.
Okay.
But in reality, to think about this, we actually take a look at all of the industry. That means that big enterprises, also medium and sized business, medium and small businesses, we also take a look at them.
Sure.
Where, yes, you're not going to be having it as a service, but you still want an ability to actually concentrate on what makes you money.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes you money is not actually administering TFS.
Sure.
So you have the same requirements out of our system. You want availability. You don't want anything crashing. If it crashes, mm-hmm. then you want some type of failover on that. You also want a way to administer how you use your hardware, mm-hmm. because your hardware is not as a big data center. It's a computer that is probably, you know, a Quadro something very low end on that sense.
Right.
And you still want the ability to, if you want to actually have some type of isolation between the different products that you're selling, to be able to do that as well.
Okay. So maybe let's start by going into some of the challenges with using TFS in a hosted model today.
Okay. So we'll do that. Okay. And for that, I'm going to whiteboard.
Great.
So if we think about it, a good way to think about today is a TFS user connects to a server name / port. Mm-hmm. That port is 8080 for us usually, and the server name is whatever the machine name usually is. So you have that, and over here that actually gets transferred to that call gets transferred to an application tier. We're going to call this an AT, and within that we have on the back end of that as well a data tier. This is where the actual SQL warehouse, SQL databases are at. And today, over here, we have a total of 7 databases to host all of the information of Team Foundation Server.
Okay, so if I have one team project over there or 100, that's all stored across 7 databases.
Yes, all that information is stored across 7 databases. For example, one of the databases is version control. Another one is work item tracking. We have the database to store all the identity information. Among these 7 databases is also the data warehouse database that we utilize.
Okay.
So the problem today is are the following. Today there's an affinity of 1-to-1 over here. So it's a 1-to-1 relationship over here. That means that you could only have one of our application tiers talking to one of the data tiers.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean? One is you cannot actually distribute load on the AT. That means you cannot have multiple ATs. And in TFS 2005, our solution was really about, okay, if you need to increase load, then what you're going to have to do is actually increase the power of that machine. So you will buy more RAM, you'll increase the CPU level of it, you will do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
On the data tier side, if you want to increase load, you will do something similarly. You will probably get a faster disk to increase I/O. You will probably get a lot more RAM on that SQL machine as well. And with a scale-up solution, that's the way that you increase load. Well, that in today's world where virtualization is taking over, and what is really the most efficient way is to have a bunch of little machines handling the load of the application, then this does not scale. You don't want to be buying more and more and more and more expensive hardware. What you really want to be doing is actually having a pool of resources and mm-hmm. having the application utilize that pool of resources effectively.
Okay.
So one of our biggest drawbacks is this type of limitation of a 1-to-1. The second one drawback that we have is within a server, and if you take a look at this as the actual server, and you put all of the teams over here, there's not really isolation between the teams. If you go and you create, for example, a new work item field, well, the problem is going to be all of the teams and the actually using the server are going to be able to see that work item field, which creates, it's a work item type field, but which creates problems because then let's say if team A, which is really a division within the company, wants to use the work item field issue type, for example, and someone else wants to utilize the same one but kind of a slightly modification, and they're going to call it issue type 2.
Right.
When I go, when I actually try to see all of the work item type fields, I'm going to get issue type and issue type 2, and I really don't have a way to say, okay, which organization is issue which.
Yeah.
In addition to that, work item numbers and change set numbers are shared throughout the server. They increase monotonically. So mm-hmm. on that sense, you cannot really say, you know, this division, it has 1,000 bugs or something like that, or
right.
it's actually limited to this change set. So we have a lot of what we call metadata leakage across the server. On the team projects. So that's another type of limitation. And the third biggest limitation today, I think, to host TFS as a service broadly would be our management tools. Our management tools in 2005, we don't have a central consolidated place that you actually go and manage all of the settings of our application, all of those settings of the database and of the subsystems.
Right.
So if you take all those three challenges, that's what we're set to solve.
And then if I can throw in one more, I've heard, if you wanted to change the hardware configuration and move project A to server B, you can't just move a single team project today. Or you can use the TFS tool, but it's not really the right solution for that, right?
Correct. So today, the movable unit today is really the server. It's not really a team project.
Right.
So it becomes really, a little bit challenging to move a team project out of a system, out of a server, and including another server
Sure.
or anything like that. So those are challenges. And the last challenge with our stuff is that we have some limitations about how many team projects you could actually host in this infrastructure, which is around, the latest numbers that we have seen right now are around 250 to 700.
Okay.
And then after that, you start hitting limits
Okay.
Within our application.
Okay. So how are we fixing this?
So let me erase this, and then let me tell you from the start what the story will be. So the picture, the first thing that we set out to solve in reality is the isolation. Because if we could solve the isolation, then we could then continue on the other challenges that we have. But the multi-tenancy aspect is one of the most important ones. So for that, we created this concept of the team project collection. And a team project collection, if you are to think about it, is just one single database. It's one DB. And let me write here team. And in reality, what it is a collection of team projects. And it's very a tiny couple set of team projects. It could be one. Or it could be multiple. And what it allows you to do is operations like branch and merge between these team projects, which allows you to share code. It also allows you to link work items across these team projects. It allows you to actually get this couple set of team projects and unite them on a common umbrella.
Okay.
So if you were to think about it, a team project collection might be something like a product or a product suite.
Okay.
So if you think about Office, for example, where there's a bunch of little products inside of it, like Excel, PowerPoint, and all those things, but they share a lot of code. They have a lot of dependencies. They ship at the same time.
Sure.
All of these things on a cadence, right? So they will probably have one team project collection, where they have a couple set of a set of related team projects and a set of related software artifacts. So source code will be probably shared across all of these things. Work items will probably be shared across all of these things. The types, the way that they actually manage their process will be shared. So that would be a way to take a look at team project collections.
Okay.
Another way to think about them also, if you're a consultant and if you're a consultant business, then you will probably have one team project collection per contract or per delivery to a customer. So where you actually want to say, you know what, after I finish this, this is my delivery to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So that what that also means is that the team project collection is the actual movable unit across TFS now.
Okay, it's so I can just send an entire team project collection to another TFS server, physical server.
Exactly.
Great.
You can just move one team project collection to another physical server.
Okay.
And then I start utilizing it like that. So this becomes the movable unit now in TFS, and it also becomes the isolation unit. So if I create another team project collection, they don't talk to each other, they don't know about each other, there's nothing shared between each other, so I have my multi-tenancy that
cool.
way. So another thing that you will see is that now we only have one database. Before we used to have seven, now we consolidate it. Because if you actually want to host this as a service, then you don't want to have 700 databases on your SQL instance for just having 100 team projects, for example, 100 team project collections. So we try to consolidate, then we take care of the scale issues from the SQL side too. So now you could actually host 3,500 team project collections
wow.
in a 64-bit SQL 2008 instance.
So that's one database per team project collection.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that means that inside of it, you could have four or five team projects, it's however you want it, but this gives you enormous scale now.
Sure.
Well, before you could only have, let's say, 500 team projects per server.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could only have one server with 3,500 products underneath if you really want to have it.
Right.
On just one instance. Then with up to 200 or 500 projects inside of each collection.
That's great.
So now the scale just kind of multiplies because of this isolation. You know?
Yeah.
So this is one of the major investments that we're making. It's the ability to actually consolidate all those seven databases, all six in reality, because the warehouse will still be a separate one. And the warehouse will consolidate all of those six into one and provide the required isolation and provide the tools necessary to actually allow the move, the management of the mobility of this database.
Great.
Of this project. So that's one of the things. The next set of investments that we are making have to do with the actual scale-out story. So if we talk about the scale-out of the AT, before, remember how I told you that there will only be one application tier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we allow you to actually say, let's say you have a big machine and you're going to virtualize it. You're going to create five different ones from this set of hardware resources. Well, now you could actually host within each one of those. You could actually host a TFS instance in each one of those machines. So we allow you to have within one physical machine virtualized, you're going to be able to host multiple application tiers.
Wow.
That'll be one solution. What that allows you to do is, it all depends, but if you're a hosting company and you want to have actually, or if you want to have your services completely isolated, then you want to do that. If you are an IT company and you want to host TFS as a service, you probably go with something else that is a slightly different, which what you're going to do is you're just going to utilize other ATs and join them to create what we call a TFS cluster.
Okay.
And what a TFS cluster in reality is here's an AT, here's an AT, here's another AT. All of these ATs are servicing a pool of Team Project collections. So let me go and erase this a little bit, but if we take a look at each one of these, it's a TPC. Here's another TPC. It's another TPC. And this could be within an actual data tier. So this is a physical machine, and this is another physical machine. And you think about this as the SQL instance. You want. So what now what we allow you to do is we could have all of these application tiers behind a single virtual IP that you connect to. So this would be something like TFS company name or
okay.
company name TFS. And that would be the actual virtual IP or the friendly name that we use to connect to the infrastructure. So
okay.
you have one single point of contact for all of clients. That is actually routed through a network load balance. So let's go and try to draw it over here.
So it's just a traditional web farm scale-up model then?
Yeah, it's pretty much that. So we have an NLB that actually understands all of these ATs. This is where I connect to with my VIP. And once a request comes in, the NLB, which is the network load balancer, routes it to any one of these application tiers. And from any of these application tiers, it could then route the request to any of these team project collections. So now we don't have this one-to-one relationship anymore. We have a many-to-many relationships. And this is really what our scale-out model is. If you need more load, you don't buy more expensive hardware. Mm-hmm. You just get another application tier up. You just go put the disk and say install an application tier. In that process, it's going to ask you, do you want to have a new TFS instance or actually have this AT join a TFS cluster? So you go and say, yes, I wanted to join, and we'll get it in another color, and this TFS cluster. And then what it will do is it will create another AT over here, and you start actually managing the load accordingly.
Awesome.
So on the DT side, then what in reality it is whenever you're creating a new team project collection, we're going to ask you, do you want to create it? You get to choose in which data tier you want to create it, in which SQL instance. So if you have 20 in your data center, you have 20 machines that are actually doing all of your databases, then you are able to say, you know what, I want this collection on this machine, this collection on this machine, and this collection on this machine.
Okay.
So that is really powerful.
And if I want to move it, it sounds like it's a simple backup restore and maybe a re-register of that
Exactly. That's pretty much what we'll do is we'll provide you tools to be able to go and back up this database, prepare it for move. We call it prepare to move.
Okay.
So we'll prepare it to move, and then you actually go and move it to the location that you need to, and then re-register.
Okay.
You can move, if it is within the same TFS cluster, we'll actually do it a little bit more efficient. So we'll be mainly a simple backup and restore, and then running some type of UI that would actually say, you know what, update the connection strings. So it actually communicates with the right box instead of the old box.
Sure.
So this is all at architecture level. So we went from a very simple one to one that is scaled out at both ends, at the IT level and at the DT level. Now, one thing that I would say is that a team project collection cannot live on multiple SQL instances. So it is we do have that limitation, which is not a strong one, which is a database must live within one SQL instance. So that one DB of that TPC must live with that SQL instance.
But if you needed to, you could cluster that SQL instance, you could mirror it.
You can do anything you want. You utilize all the SQL technology to do anything you want.
Awesome.
So from a availability, you kind of touched it. What we have is that you go and on the AT level, if one of these AT dies, the other ones will start picking up the load.
Okay.
You know, so from a high availability at the AT level, all you have to really do is install multiple ATs.
Mm-hmm.
They're always hot, they're always on. They handle requests. One dies, the other ones pick up the load. Very, very efficient.
So what happens if I'm in the middle of a check-in and my AT just died? Does it just fail over to the next one?
So if you're in the middle of the check-in, that request would actually fail and say, we could not process that. And then you will make you will get an error back saying that. And then when you go and attend the check-in again, then this AT will pretty much be offline, and then you just go through the other AT and you succeed.
Okay.
In the old system, it was completely different. You fail, and there was only one AT.
Yeah.
Now you need to notify the administrator. The administrator needs to go and actually go and get this warm standby AT.
Yep.
Port it over.
Wake somebody up.
So
yeah.
A lot of manual steps.
Gotcha.
Well, right now, there's nothing. The MLB pretty much handles that for you.
That's great.
So
any changes in the proxy story, or is that just the same scenario? If I have a remote office and I want to have everything cached locally at that proxy, and I would set up one of those, which then talks to this farm of ATs back at the home site?
Exactly. So our story proxy is not changing. It's still, there's a machine on that site that actually caches, and right now our proxy only caches version control data.
Okay.
So there's a machine at that site that goes and understands, okay, what team project collections I'm caching data off.
Got it.
And then it just creates the necessary folders to administer that internally. So we're not doing much on that end. Right now, the story has been great. Our customers love it. The scalability of it is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the most important thing about the AT is really the disk speed,
mm-hmm.
and the weight, and a little bit of CPU, but the majority of the things is mainly disk speed and a little bit of RAM. But a lot of all of the requests, remember, always come to the server. They get processed in SQL over there. The proxy is just there to be able to download files a lot faster.
Right.
So we still get that thing.
Gotcha.
This is at the architecture level. One thing that we should also take a look at is what happens then at the client level. What does this theme mean for clients?
Okay.
And what it means is the following. One of the things is whenever you connect to a team project, then we're going to be able to give you the ability to see the other products or the other applications are within your entire server deployment. So before, for example, if I'm working right now in Visual Studio and I want to see something in the Office or Windows team, I need to actually know the name of those servers to be able to connect to them, to try to open a bug, for example, for a bug in another product that we have a dependency on.
Sure.
In this, within this architecture, then since there's only one server, then I'm always connected to the same server. If I have access to the other products, teams, deliverables,
mm-hmm.
Then all I have to go and is go and say, okay, what is the collection they're using? And a collection for us will probably be something like Office. Well, that's pretty easy for me to say. Okay, if I want to open something in Word or Excel or anything like that, I just go to Office. I'll try to look at the release that they have, go in there, and open my bug. Before, I couldn't do that. I need to remember what is their server name, what actual team project they're using. There's a bunch of stuff that now we take complexity away just because we have this consolidation.
Gotcha.
Another thing is we're going to be able to provide you the ability that you could actually take these collections and move them across the hardware, so pretty much administer load efficiently. And the client pretty much stays, does not know of any of those changes and continues to work the same. Since they only communicate with the server, we have a set of services, which is what there's an ETM is all about, a set of framework services. There's a location service, there's a security service, identity service, and a registry service. Those are the main ones, and then we have a catalog and properties. But those set of core ETMs, framework services, are the ones that enable us to do things like, okay, if I want to take one of my private collections to another piece of hardware, well, it automatically goes and refreshes all of the caches and things like that. And when the client connects again, he doesn't even know. So there's no downtime for the client in reality other than the couple of minutes that you're actually doing this. And while you're doing this, hopefully we'll be able to give you a nice message. So our dream is when you actually are doing an operation like this, is you are the administrator, attach a message. When the client connects and tries to access anything in there, he gets that message that you actually have typed something like, oh, we're doing an administration from 5 to 6.
Oh,
check
wow.
back later.
Nice.
Instead of something like, oh, TFS is not available
right
now.
Yeah, that's not helpful. Yeah.
And that's not helpful, an actual message from the... So we want to get there. It would either be within this release or if you think about an SP1 or something like that. We want to be able to give you the end-to-end experience.
Okay. So final question for you. Is Microsoft using ETM yet?
So yes, we are... We are and we're not at the same time. So
okay.
We're developing right now, so still not even in beta, so which means that we get to use it only in our internal tests.
Okay.
Our plan is to actually go and deploy this to our Dogfit in the very near term, and Brian Harrell will probably make an announcement of that in the blog when we actually do that. We need to get a little bit more stability because, as you know, the actual Visual Studio 10 is developed in TFS. So we can go and deploy alpha to them and then kind of put their release in jeopardy or
sure.
our release in jeopardy. So we're using it, and we're still having dog-footed internally the way that we're going to. But as we go closer and closer to beta, then we'll make that shift. Right now, it's mainly isolated tests here and there, trying to prove the technology and make sure that we could actually fulfill a lot of these scenarios.
Sure.
But over the coming 6 months, I think that's when we start seeing the shift to actually hosting all of our ETM framework services internally.
Great. So. Exciting times. Well, thanks for taking the time, and
thanks.
We look forward to seeing what you come up with next.
Great.